We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
I'm sorry we're late. Sometimes things just, you know, we get talking or we have a technical difficulty or whatever. We love you and appreciate you guys bearing with us on that. But we always try to bring the thunder, Zach. Once we hit that go live button, we try to bring it.
It's Scott's fault. Well, that's our story. That's our alibi. It's Scott's fault for being on vacation.
Exactly. Where does he get off thinking he can like just like not work?
Spend time with his family. Come on, I mean, Scott.
Yeah, come on. But no, really, of course, we're joking. We want Scott to enjoy his and to take his time off. But Zach, today the Denver Broncos made another signing, announced a former Chicago Bears offensive starter. You had the article for us at milehighhuddle.com. Break it down.
Well, for anyone who's thinking that he's going to be the shoe-in to replace Cushenberry at center, you might want to pump the brakes. This is a depth signing as far as I'm concerned, a camp body, and I'll say his name. It's Sam Mustipher. As Chad was talking about, he spent some time in Chicago. He had 42 starts there, and then he appeared in 9 games last season, mostly as a backup with the Baltimore Ravens. And I say he's a camp body or a depth signing because I researched into Mustipher, brother of former Broncos defensive tackle, PJ Mustipher, nose tackle, whatever he was. He went undrafted in 2019, Sam Mustipher. And the reason he did was because he basically tested himself out of the draft. I mean, he is not athletically gifted at all, even for a lineman. And I don't know that Zach Strief and Sean Payton can work their magic and turn him into a starter, but at minimum, he is a warm body. He does have experience, Chad, and he'll provide some sort of leveling effect for Alex Forsyth and Luke Wattenberg, one of whom I think will be the starter come week one.
I still think Forsyth is the leader in the clubhouse, but it's nice to have Mustipher here because you get that kind of veteran failsafe. Not that, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the dude. He's a Bronco now, so much love and respect, obviously, but you know, I'm not expecting him to step in and you just like understood starter at center. He's going to have to battle. And I don't think Zach, his experience combined with his relative talent and what he brings to the table is enough to just automatically leapfrog the designs and the ideas Sean Payton has potentially anyway for Alex Forsyth. Now, how much do we read into Sean Payton saying shortly after the 2023 draft that, yeah, Alex Forsyth was a 7th rounder. We felt like he was worth more than that. We see him as, you know, a future starter. Usually, Zach, when he says something like that about a player, you can take it to the bank. But he's also the guy that is just like an expert at running his mouth and just like bloviating, saying a lot without saying a dang thing. But you just got to, you know, as we inch farther into the Sean Payton era, we're getting a little savvier, I think, Zach, to be able to deduce which is which, like when you can just kind of tune out of what he's saying and then when something he says actually means something.
You're 100% correct. It's always tough to decipher if Sean Payton's telling the truth. It's a little easier, though, Chad, with George Payton, who's a little more, you know, he's forthcoming with the media. And something that George Payton said, and I put it in the article for anyone who wants to read it, at the Combine, and I quote, "We feel good about Wattenberg period. We feel really good about Forsythe. So you can take from that what you will. I'm with Chad. I do think Forsythe is the club leader to start come week one. And especially, I'll say it again, if the Broncos draft his former college teammate, Bo Nix, potentially at 12.
Yes, indeed. The Papa Bear, as he is lovingly known both at home and in this community, David McElrath, in the house early with a super chat. Appreciate you, big dog. David's saying, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach Dillon, Deacon Scott. First round QB, hashtag MHH for life, Buckham, times three, and Denver Broncos for life. Thank you, big dog. Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, you're preaching to the choir about first round QB there, Zach.
It's got to be, David. I mean, there's literally, to me, no other option. You have to come out of the first round. I don't care at this point who it is, you know, relatively speaking. Could be Penix, Bo Nix. They want to move up for McCarthy or move up for Drake May. I am all for it, but nothing is going to move the needle, David, like a quarterback. You can take the best edge rusher, the best corner, the best whoever. Nothing is going to do it and solve the team's problems like hitting on that first round QB.
Indeed, and there are a lot of weird, Zach, little stars that align for a Bo Nix to Denver eventuality. And that's not a prediction, but it's just really weird how much of that stuff is there. The ties, the connections, comparing him to Drew Brees, the processor, the fact that he's likely to still be on the board at 12. There's a lot there. But another thing I want to talk about is the Broncos brought in Washington Southpaw quarterback Michael Penix Jr. yesterday, or was it the day before? Either way, I want to talk about that. But first, let's grab Sam Bam. We don't want to keep the Sam Bam waiting any longer than we already have. Appreciate you, big dog. He says, evening, Chad, Zach, Scott, and Broncos country. 3 weeks from tonight until the draft. It's getting closer. Go Broncos. Yeah, it's weird how time flies, dude. It's weird how time flies. 3 weeks, you know, in a vacuum, it seems like a long time, Zach, but it's not. It'll be here like that.
It always does. It always goes so fast. We were just, you know, recapping the end of the 2023 season, and then it was the combine, and then it was free agency. And Chad's right. We've been doing this long enough, and I'm sure Broncos fans have been fanning long enough to know that it's going to go by in the blink of an eye. And 3 weeks from tonight, as Sam points out, the Broncos will have their quarterback of the future. I, for one, am really excited, Sam.
So let's get to a few hellos. I want to talk about the quarterback. The Washington quarterback coming through. I just want to get, pardon me, to a few hellos here. And obviously, we tip our cap to Dillon, who is a co-host now in his own right, but he also still is there every single night to help us manage the trolls on YouTube and just keep things a-flowing. You know, when I say keep things a-flowing, I'm talking about engaging in the conversation with everybody else. We love that. Appreciate you, big dog. And he's reminding everybody, hit the like button on your way in. Share on all platforms. So important. And subscribe if you haven't already. We grabbed the Sam Bam. William, what's up? Gabe, what's up? I'm just giving some shout outs to the early birds. David, Dave from Georgia's in the house. DTR's in the house. Jesse, what's up? Adam, what's up? The Duchess is in the house. What's up, Michaela? All right. Let's talk about this, Zach. First of all, what's your feeling on, again, this was reported now. It's been out for about a day. Broncos brought in, you know, teams are only allowed X amount. What is it? Is it 30 top 30 visits, right? And the Broncos, and not always do they use every single one for what it's worth, but Broncos opted to use one of those on Penix. What do you read into that?
I'm pretty sure he was the first quarterback that made his official top 30 visit to the Broncos. And, you know, we don't know until we know. It could be a case where they're locking in on Penix because he's their guy, or it could be a case where they're just doing due diligence. They met with Spencer Rattler. They put him through the gauntlet. I saw a comment from The Rock said that the Broncos were the toughest to meet. That's what Rattler said. And Penix, they met with him at the combine before his even official top 30 visit. And he said that Sean Payton was tough. He also called him a guru, and he really complimented Sean Payton's coaching abilities. We just don't know, obviously, if Penix is his guy. And if he is, then this visit has significance. If he's not, then it's just a good coach and a good general manager doing their jobs.
I find it very interesting, Zach, that quarterbacks in this class are saying, dude, that was like the toughest interview we've had was with the Broncos and Sean Payton. Yeah. Now, maybe he's like this every single draft, Zach, but I think maybe he's putting a little bit more juice into these quarterback conversations and meetings, testing them, putting them on their toes a little bit more because they're in the market, right? I think it's another strong sign of how seriously the Broncos are taking the quarterback class this year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/Blue Wire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Well, remember when Sean Payton made that comment at, think it was the Combine presser, where he said a lot of teams evaluate quarterbacks, but not many do it like us. And we thought that was maybe arrogance or pride or ego talking, but maybe there's something to it. Maybe their evaluation process can weed out who has it and who doesn't. And if that's the case, the Broncos are very fortunate to have a coach like Sean Payton.
We got the Ronk throwing down, as always. Brother, I don't know what we'd do without you. I see you're saying Sam and PJ Mustafa are siblings. Is that true, Zach?
Yeah, he's the brother.
There you go. See, I need to read Zach's reporting before I go live every day, which I normally do, by the way. I'm either reading Zach's stuff or writing my own stuff. Today, I had a little something in the afternoon I had to take care of. But the Ronk, love you, big dog, as he's talking about here, the Mustafa bros. And, of course, PJ was the defensive tackle undrafted last year, right? Well, it was last year that they ended up moving on from.
And now he's in New Orleans, which is a kind of a weird paradox.
Look at this, too. The Ronk brings up Bo Nix wants to play for Sean Payton and the Broncos. Well, heck yeah. I think any quarterback in his right mind, Zach, would want to play for a head coach that, you know, first of all, a team that has a genuine hole at quarterback. And then also that team, hey, it would be real cool if it's not a brand new first-time head coach figuring it out along the way, like a lot of these teams in the QB market early in the draft are, but a actual bona fide guy. He's won a ring. He's viewed as a quarterback whisperer. He's one of, top five offensive minds of the modern era. I would hope Bo Nix would want to play for Sean Payton.
You bring up a great point. And the last time the Broncos drafted a quarterback, it was Drew Lock, a significant quarterback, you know, in the first couple rounds. But look at who the Broncos coaches were. Look at who they were delivering Drew Lock to. A first-year head coach in Vic Fangio, defensive guy who we come to find out, Chad, had no interest in the offensive side of the ball, and a rookie coordinator in Scangarello. This was in 2019. And because of the Drew Lock failure, some Broncos fans don't want them to get another rookie quarterback, but you'd be delivering that QB to not a rookie coach, to not an experienced coach, not one who's just defensively oriented. Sean Payton is one of the best to ever do it. And that's what brings me hope. They're going to go through their lumps. They're going to take their bumps, and it's going to be a rocky season. But knowing that they're in safe hands with someone like Peyton brings me comfort.
Indeed. And by the way, Drew Lock is the last quarterback the Broncos drafted. And I had to like double check my own memory. I've had such a busy last month that I'm like, I better double check that. 2019, right, Zach? Okay. Yeah. 2020, nope. 2021, nope. 2022, nope. 2023, nope. So 4 or 5 years without drafting a Q. You kind of understand it in year one of the Russ, why they might not have drafted a quarterback that year, especially not just because they expected him to be a franchise guy, but they were missing a few picks thanks to the trade. But man, you should try. That's a position in hindsight and just as a matter of course, NFL teams should churn and burn until and unless you have a bona fide guy that you can bank on. Jesse, what's up, dude? Thank you for the super chat, my dog. I really appreciate you. Even if it's not your first super chat at MHH, I know it's one of your first. So really welcome. Thank you, buddy. Helping us keep the lights on. He says, Sean Payton is serious about his QB weeding them out, Zach.
4 years since they drafted a quarterback and 7 years since they've drafted an offensive tackle, if you can believe it, Garrett Bowles being the last. I look for those two facts to change come April 25th, 26th, 27th. And Jesse, that's the kind of the same point I was making. It's such an inexact science, and there's a chance that the Broncos are not going to hit on the guy, but I feel confident that Sean Payton's leading the charge, and I feel confident that Sean Payton will find his guy. We just can guess until the 25th about who that guy really is.
Well, it's like Nick and Carl talked about Tuesday night that, you know, according to Kliss, you know, there are three positions that are really on the table for the Broncos in round one: quarterback, edge, and was it corner? I want to say that's a really nice smokescreen, in my opinion. The Broncos are going quarterback, dude. They do not have a choice. Luke wrote about this yesterday. Go give it a read. I'm trying to remember who the original source was. Was it ESPN? But anyway, Broncos, or no, it was NFL.com. I just don't remember who at NFL.com, but Broncos rated the worst current quarterback situation in the NFL, like the worst, which came with a prediction. Look for him to trade up. Zach, do you agree that it's the worst quarterback situation currently in the league?
Yeah, because you have only two quarterbacks under contract, and they are Jarrett Stidham, who has how many starts as a pro? What, 5 or 6, something like that? And then Ben DiNucci is the only other quarterback, probably a practice squad guy, who has, I think, 2 starts with the Cowboys a few years ago. So, yeah, I'd say it's the worst.
Yeah, so Stidham, for what it's worth, he has 4 career starts, 2 in Denver this past season, and then 2 the year prior as a Raider.
Give him too much credit then.
And then Gucci DiNucci, let's double check him. He's got a start.
Okay, so 5 combined.
A start. So 5 combined. And, you know, if it's kind of like the 2020 Broncos. If one of those quarterbacks is a guy you have – is young and you have some investment in, and there's some actual belief in a future and a ceiling, you know, you don't get too caught up in the fact that they've only got 5 starts under the belt like Drew Lock did going into year 2. But what did they do? They brought in Jeff Driscoll was their hedge, and then kind of halfway through, something like September, they brought in, or maybe October, Blake Bortles. Remember that, for like a cup of coffee? Anyway, my point being here, all things being equal, yeah, it would be nice to have a quarterback with more experience, Zach. But to me, it's straight up about talent. DiNucci, hey, nice to have him around if you're in a super desperate situation. But like Jarrett Stidham, man, he got a lot of people's hopes up in Denver over those couple of games, especially the Niners game the year prior. But dude, it was fool's gold. He'll get the ball out on time. I don't want to like take too much away from him, but we know what he is. He's a Jag. He's just a guy. Let's shift gears here real fast. Lawrence jumping in on Facebook with some stars. Love you, big dog. He says, Sean Payton can't pick a quarterback to save his life. Running back is a different story, though. Obviously, Zach, he's being a little hyperbolic about the to save his life thing, but like, how much has Sean Payton really been tested as a QB drafter, right? He had Drew Brees for 14, 15 years, whatever it was. I'm trying to think of some of the quarterbacks that the Saints might have drafted over that time besides was Taysom Hill?
I think he was a quarterback. I could be wrong.
Well, of course he was a quarterback, but what I'm saying is what
draft?
I can't remember if he was drafted or if he was an undrafted guy.
Sean Payton talked about that. He might have been undrafted.
Undrafted. So I don't know. I mean, let's see. Bear with me real quick, Zach. In fact, I want to circle back on this.
Yep.
Grab our boy Troy here while I do a quick little bit of research, and I'll be listening.
Well, I want to give my thoughts on Lawrence's comment as well. But Troy, $9.99 super, thank you so much, Troy, as always, becoming a foundational member of the podcast. Troy goes, hey, guys, just supporting. Do you think the veteran center equals a rookie quarterback starting sooner rather than later? I don't know that the correlation there is to be made, Troy. I think the Broncos just wanted someone with experience. I mean, in that room, how many starts do Wattenberg and Forsythe have combined? I think it's zero. So you needed someone to have a sort of a veteran presence they can maybe learn from. But regardless, we talked about it at the start of the pod tonight. The plan always when Cushenberry left was to groom Forsythe into that starting role. And again, the only connection that can be made at center is if Forsythe does start and the Broncos draft Bo Nix, they play together at Oregon, it'd be like this from day one. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping, honestly, like some of our draft guys don't love Bo Nix, but I'm telling you, in a Sean Payton scheme, Bo Nix could be a thing.
Yeah.
And if his center is a guy that his NFL center is a guy, he snapped the ball to him. They make calls at the line of scrimmage for you know, they have that experience. That's a huge plus. But I do think it has nothing. It doesn't really in any way, shape or form. The signing of Mustafa, it doesn't indicate the direction the Broncos are going at quarterback much. I think it's just a hedge considering, as Zach mentioned, the relative starting inexperience. But get this at center. Get this, Zach. Over Sean, going back to Lawrence, I'm going to bring it back up so we can do some scratch and sniff, follow along. We're all on the same page here. Sean Payton's history as head coach of the New Orleans Saints, right? Gets there in 2006. The first quarterback he drafted, because remember, year one, he also successfully recruited Drew Brees. So the first quarterback the Saints drafted of the Payton era was Sean Canfield out of Oregon State, the seventh round, 2010. Okay, so it's like a flyer on a dude. We'll see if we can maybe develop him, right? Next, this is the biggest investment they ever made in the draft while Payton was there. And I felt dumb for not immediately remembering this because this was a guy from our backyard, Garrett Grayson, right? Formerly of the CSU Rams. He was a third round pick in 2015, hung around like 4 years or so with the Saints, but he made no starts because Drew Brees is the man. Basically ended up locked on New Orleans practice squad and then eventually had some time with a couple other teams. And then there was a Tommy Stevens, Zach, a seventh rounder in 2020. All right. Then in 2021, last one, and this was Peyton's last season, fourth rounder Ian Book out of Notre Dame. So that's the entire draft history of any quarterback under a Sean Payton team.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You made one point already that I was going to make. I don't know why people hold Drew Brees against Sean Payton. Like, he should have developed a quarterback when you have a first ballot Hall of Famer still in his prime. I mean, when he had to navigate the post Breeze life. You try to do that, but it's so tough finding a quarterback that can match up to Breeze's standard. Another thing, Lawrence, really quickly, is that Sean Payton was this close to trading up in 2017 for Patrick Mahomes. He was literally one pick away before Kansas City sniped him. So he obviously knows where he wants to go. And the other thing is, yeah, he hasn't drafted a Q that's been a star in the league, but it's what he's done with every quarterback in the post-Breeze era, the Simeons, the Bridgewaters, the Jameis Winstons, and dare I say, even the Russell Wilsons of the world. That's what's so encouraging. So, Lawrence, you might point out the fact that he never hit on a star. He never really built one up. He has made chicken salad out of the most vile chicken excrement you can find in the NFL, and that's all that really matters.
Sam Bam jumping in again. Thank you, my dog. He says, do you think Penix being left-handed will have any effect on his draft stock with the Broncos? My gut feel is Peyton wants a right-handed quarterback. I think most NFL coaches are, you know, by default, they want a righty just because, I mean, it's easier for the scheme and players are used to catching balls from right-handed throwers. And, you know, when you talk about the reps, Zach piling up by the thousands as far as a receiver, seeing the way the ball's spinning coming at him, it is, you throw a different variable in there to where it's spinning the other way coming off a left hand. And it is a slight adjustment. You can overcome it, but usually Zach, those southpaws, they have to bring something that goes above and beyond in order to kind of overcome that relative to their draft stock. And in a vacuum, I hate to use that phrase again here twice in the same night, maybe Penix would be viewed that way. But with his draft history and look, or his injury history, I know he was cleared of everything, but teams are still a little freaked out by his injury jacket, even though he's cleared. All right, cool. But that's not the issue. Wasn't ever, Zach, is he injured going into the draft? Of course he wasn't. He came off a very productive year at Washington, almost went the distance in the college football championship. It's the history, right? It's not necessarily that he's injured now. It's that, is he a prone, injury prone guy?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Sam, there's like a three stool or three legged stool when you want to look at Michael Penix. Chad mentioned the injury jacket, and yeah, he's been better about that. His age is another one. He's going to be 24 next month, and that's held against Bo Nix. So the same should apply to Michael Penix. The other thing with him, mechanically, I don't worry about the left-handed too much. I mean, it is a small consideration or a moderate consideration. It's his processing in the pocket and what came out in the title game, not great. And it's also his work in the middle of the field, the intermediate routes, the short area of the field where Russell Wilson struggled and where Sean Payton wants to maximize. That is a strength of someone like Bo Nix. And they offer each their own pros and cons. I could talk myself into Michael Penix. Is he my QB1, QB2, QB3? No, no, and no. But if Sean Payton thinks he's the guy, I think he can make work with Sean Payton. And last point, Chad, what I do like about Penix, there was a picture I saw on Twitter where he put plays on his bathroom mirror. Like, he actually wrote different plays down and different designs. I thought for a football guy like that, it's pretty impressive.
Dude, I love that kind of thing. You know, like, it shows that it's not only a player who is trying to constantly like better himself from a knowledge and a football IQ perspective and his scheme and all that, but like, it kind of gives you a window into dude's mindset. Like, yeah. When I was in college, I took a few different sales jobs over that time. And I realized very quickly life, as a commissioned salesman, it's not so much how much you know the product of what you're selling, Zach. It's not so much like, are you the most dynamic, charismatic dude to ever walk the earth? It's really about like mindset. And I understood from some of the veterans around me that you actually have to work to not only better yourself knowledge wise, but like to cultivate the right mindset. And so I would get recommended, hey, check out this book, check out this book, check out this book. And me being a big reader and stuff, I'm like, dope, give it to me. And I'd read them. And one of the things I learned, I can't even remember what book it was, Zach, but one of them was, hey, you know, positive verbal reinforcement to yourself. All right. So like in a salesman perspective, quick derailment here, bear with me. In a salesman context, all right, you know, you want to be confident. You want to, exude certain things when, as far as how, what the impression of you is with customers, et cetera. So like they would say, you know, this thing, hey, write on a post-it note, something like I'm the man. I am confident, this and that. And then like post them up in different places around your donuts, right? The donuts you make every day. So like your mirror in your bathroom, put them up in your car, put them up in different places. And not only, Zach, that you're seeing it, but when you see it, verbalize it, say it out loud, let yourself hear yourself saying those things. And I'm a big believer in that stuff. Ask any of the guys that do podcasts at MHH. These are things we talk about often. And it shows me, Zach, Michael Penix, I know that we're not talking about mindset per se, like post-its in his bathroom. We're talking about plays and whatnot. But it is a window into how seriously this dude takes everything between the ears, which I like.
I can confirm that about Chad firsthand. And I'm also the same way. I mean, when I first broke into this business, I had a little post-it note above my desk that I wrote the position and job that I wanted. And I looked at it every single day because I believe in the power of positive affirmation and yep. Thoughts become things. But this is not a Tony Robbins podcast. This is a Broncos podcast. And one thing about Penix, and you're right, Chad, it also demonstrates to you that he's all about football. And that was the big thing in 2016 when they drafted Paxton Lynch, was that he was not all about football. He was about Fortnite or whatever game, Call of Duty, whatever game he was playing back then. It's a green flag to me. And it wasn't just for cloud or social media likes. That's who Michael Penix is. And it's a green flag when a player cares about football to that extent.
Well said. Thank you, Sam. Love you, big dog. We've got Ronald Putnam jumping in. Good to see you tonight, my friend. It has been a minute. Appreciate the super. He says, hi, guys. How about we trade down twice in the first round, pick up 3 second-round picks? We could get some solid players. You bet your bottom dollar you could get some solid players, no doubt about it. But in so doing, what's your plan then, Ron, at quarterback? Are you banking on, say, Penix or Nix still being there at whatever point you end up ceasing your trade back? Because that's the biggest thing is, look, in a normal draft, Zach, like in a normal draft year where the Broncos are not basement dwellers and in desperate need of a quarterback, I'll be right there with you about trading down and stockpiling picks. Yeah. You know, to quote George Payton, the more darts you have to throw at the board, the better. But this time around, man, you're just outside the top 10. You're within striking distance. I don't want to risk not getting one of the top quarterbacks of the class. So that's my only thing here is I feel you on that, Ron, but I'm also a little cautious.
I'm pretty sure Ronald Putnam is just George Payton's burner account, because this is what Payton would do if given the autonomy. And Payton did do this when given the autonomy in 2021 and 2022. And to an extent last year when Sean Payton was still new. But it's not George Payton's autonomy any longer. This is Sean Payton's team. And I don't see Sean Payton trading down and stockpiling picks. Sean Payton is going to be aggressive to get his quarterback. And if he can't move up, well, you stay at 12 and someone should fall into your lap, whether that's Michael Penix or Bo Nix or whoever. And you can't really overthink that. Though I will say, and it's just a gut feeling, I have no information to really go on, I think if the Broncos stay at 12, Chad, I can absolutely see them move up into the second round on day two. There's just so much talent in that round relative to the Broncos' needs, and I don't know that Payton can resist the temptation for that long, if at all.
Exactly. Well said. And Ron, thank you, brother, for the support and contributing to the conversation tonight, my friend. Day from Georgia, a legendary, mythical member of our community jumping in, bona fide super chat superstar. Thank you, Dave. He says, do you think we have to draft a quarterback at 12 or maybe trade back a few spots? Do you have to? No, you don't have to. But what are you going to do if, let's say, you talk yourself, Zach, into a trade back? It's just the package is too good. Someone's offering you something and you're like, all right, we're going to move back to, you know, 25. I can't remember who's picking 25 right now. Anyway, we think that's still in the neighborhood of where Bo Nix is going to be, for example. And you trade back and he's not there. He gets taken. You're like, dadgummit, now what? Well, is Penix a first round guy? Is he a bona fide first round guy? I'm not sure of that. And I'm not sure, Zach, of how the Broncos view that. I think the answer is they view him as closer to a first round pick than not, because they hosted him on a top 30 visit, although that's not like an absolute indicator, but still, I just don't want to risk the shot at a quarterback. You can trade back a million times over after you get a quarterback in future years, but like, you know, what did we learn the other day, Zach? You know, six quarterbacks going in the first round is the record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2018, they call it the Hall of Fame class. You had to get a few of those darts out, right? Not all those quarterbacks ended up making it, but Josh Allen and Lamar, they lead the way in terms of NFL accomplishments. Yep. Baker Mayfield's right behind him. But then you had a few burner offers, you know, like Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. So you need to try and get one of these guys in a very quarterback top heavy class.
And take it back a year further, like I talked about a few minutes ago, 2017, when Sean Payton tried to move up for Patrick Mahomes. He is not going to experience FOMO twice. I promise you that. He learned his mistake once, and he's going to rectify it this time around. And I feel like, Dave, you almost have to. Not you have to, but you almost have to, because who is right behind the Broncos at 13? And I've been pounding this drum for weeks now. That'd be the Raiders, who are desperate for a quarterback with their new coach, Antonio Pierce. They like Michael Penix a lot. Maybe they like Bo Nix. In my opinion, it doesn't matter where you get the quarterback if you think he's the guy. You could chance it and trade down a few spots, but to me, if they want Bo Nix, it doesn't matter if they get Bo Nix at 12 or 32. As long as they get their guy by any means necessary, that's how it should work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well said. Mike Edel jumping in with a generous super chat. Thank you, my brother. Another bona fide superstar in the house. He says, hey, Chad, Zach, and Broncos country, how much does delivery affect route timing? Kurt Warner on his QB show wasn't a fan of Nix. Nix is my favorite as far as someone who is attainable. Go MHH. Delivery. So I'm trying to understand exactly what you mean by that, like throwing motion or the anticipation with which they get the ball out. I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I think though, Zach, he's talking about basically it's throwing motion. Mike, correct us if we're wrong on that, but what's your answer for our big dog here?
That's how I interpreted the question, is his throwing motion or his mechanics. And, you know, Kurt Warner can have his opinion, but for every negative you hear about Bo Nix, you see like three or four really positive interviews that he's had. One with Doug Farrar of, I think, Football Outsiders. One with RG3, who works for ESPN now. I mean, the thing about Bo Nix is he stays on schedule. He plays within the confines and the strictures of an offense. He knows where to go with the ball. From down to down, he can make all the throws. I mean, his deep ball is not his forte, but in the short and middle parts of the field, that's where Sean Payton wants a quarterback to be accurate and deadly, and that's where Bo Nix thrives. So, difference of opinion, I guess.
Yeah. I haven't found, on the time I've spent watching Bo Nix as a prospect, you know, the pulling up some of his tape from his last couple years in college and watching him, nothing ever jumped out to me that was like particularly awkward about his delivery, but I'll look at it. And man, when you got a Hall of Famer like Kurt Warner saying something about it, I'll go back and look at it again. But thank you, Mike. Let's jump into some Facebook folks real fast. And then we got Naj, we got KB waiting as well on Super Chat. But Phil, we love you down in Tucson. You know this, my dog. You prove every single day that Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being, baby. He says, good evening, Chad and Zach. Going to be great when we get to the draft and find out Peyton has a QB we haven't even thought about. LOL. So much fun guessing what's in the minds of the coach and GM. Hashtag Buckham MHH for life. Yeah, you know, normally I really relish what he's talking about, the fun of guessing. And it is fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. It's just that it's been so long, Zach, since they drafted a quarterback or even took a shot at one in the first round, and there's such a dire need for it that, like, man, if I was in that front office, I would be if there was a deal to be made for me to move up and really either improve or guarantee my odds of getting one, I would have already made that deal. But maybe that's why, Zach, that's what separates, say, a NFL front office expert exec from a guy like me who talks about it for a living, is that they understand restraint and maybe like the long game and stuff like that. But that's where things are at, dude. This team, I agree, worst quarterback situation currently in the NFL.
I think it's fun to an extent to play the guessing game and speculate, but we've been doing it for 3 months now. And it's, I listen back to the pod sometimes and I feel like I'm just saying the same things over and over. I'm not providing much insight, but it's, there's only so many quarterbacks we can connect to the Broncos and so many realistic candidates to become the next Broncos quarterback that we want, all want the draft to just get here already and find out. To me, at this point, it's a little anticlimactic after so long, Chad, wondering and wondering and wondering. It's like, okay, let's get it over with and find out who's going to be leading the Broncos in 2024.
We're at 36 minutes, by the way, guys, so we're getting a little bit on the back nine, so to speak, of tonight's show. Any burning topics, questions, super chats, stars, get them in now. We'll make sure we get to you before we dip. But Zach, relative to, you know, the circular conversations that have that kind of take shape during the offseason, whether it's a kind of unique offseason like this or even a normal offseason in our history, is just be glad you're not doing radio anymore. Could you imagine doing that 3 hours a day? Nope. You'd start like forgetting even what your takes are. Zach and I had an opportunity to take our show to the Denver airwaves a couple years back. Was it last year? Not just barely 23. It was 22.
Yeah,
right? It was 22. And it was a great opportunity, of which we were flattered and very grateful. We took the opportunity, but we found that it wasn't for us because you ended up having to like contrive kind of like conversations and positions and takes in order to kind of keep the conversation going in the radio way and like wedge driving and, you know, constantly, Zach, only talking about the surface area topics that, because think about it, what's radio? It's mostly, it's not absolute, but it's mostly people who just jumped in their car at lunch or on their way to work, and they're going through the stations, listening for something that they can connect with in between stop A and stop B. And so you're told, and it's not exactly a must or a mandate, Zach, but it's strongly suggested. You keep the topics that you're going to talk about, surface topics that any Broncos fan, if they're tuning in, immediately know what you're talking about. In other words, don't be trying to talk about even the backup quarterback. Don't even be trying to talk about some no-name veteran offensive lineman they signed today, because the average listener doesn't know who that person is, couldn't care less. They want to hear about the top-level topics. And like right now, Zach, what would that be? That would be draft, right? Quarterbacks. You'd basically be living there. What's going on with Russ here and there? Like, why is Justin Simmons, the market for him, so cold? Things that every fan, their ears perk up. They recognize those names. They're listening. That got real boring to us.
Yeah, and it did, and it felt like work. I'm sure you agree, Chad. This doesn't feel like work, and I didn't want my comment to come off insulting. And I know Broncos country feels the same way. They've been guessing and wondering and waiting and seeing who the Broncos are going to take and who the Broncos are interested in. But I think we can all agree it's like, okay, we have 3 more weeks. Please let them go fast, and let's find out already.
George Fox jumping in on Facebook as well to say, we have to trust in the coaches as to whoever they think can do the job the way they want it done. Broncos for life, MHH for life. I still stand on this. I tweet every once in a while, Zach, when I get a question about quarterbacks in Sean Payton, I trust. I do trust in him on this. I got to disagree with our boy Lawrence Rivera. You know we love you, Lawrence. I don't agree in any way, shape, or form that Sean Payton can't draft a quarterback to save his life. I think that if you're in the business of drafting a quarterback, just be like the Broncos are. Thank God. Thank the football gods as a fan that you're not George Payton and Vic Fangio approaching this, or George Payton and, you know, Vance Joseph approaching this. Sean Payton, look, John Elway, Zach, Hall of Fame quarterback, can't take that away from him, could not identify slash develop quarterback talent to save his life. It was kind of a weird paradox. But Sean Payton is a guy that's been teaching and developing quarterback since he got in the league and is a former quarterback himself. He shares that with Elway, obviously nowhere close to the level Elway was as a player. But I have the utmost confidence in Sean Payton's ability to share a brain with George. George to get the scouting department and everything on a level and in line with what Sean Payton is looking for at quarterback.
You know, I agree. Sean Payton, we trust because we have to. We have no other choice but to trust Sean Payton. He's going to be here for the long haul. He's the second highest paid coach in the NFL, and he has the gravitas to pull off a quarterback developmental move like he's talking about. But that's why, Chad, we can give our opinions, and we have for 3 months now. It doesn't matter who we want or anyone else wants. It matters who Sean Payton wants. And once he lands on his guy, no matter who that is, he has to do everything in his power, and I mean everything in his power, to get his guy this draft.
Lando, what's up, dude? Good to see you tonight on Facebook. Appreciate you. He says, good evening, Priest. Just showing some love. Thank you, my dog. You know, we really, really appreciate you. And it's great seeing you in the chat this evening. Mike jumping in again to say they were talking about, he says Mays wind up, but I want to say his super was on the subject of
Nix.
So I think he meant the wind up. Yeah. So it was the throwing motion, etc. Thank you for clarifying that, Mike. We got the BLD jumping in. What's up, buddy? Saying now with Buffalo trading Diggs, do you see Denver trading Cortland Sutton, Zach, for draft picks?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of the cases to me where it could be like a diminishing return. Like, would you rather have Cortland Sutton on the team or a fifth and sixth round draft pick or something along those lines? I would keep him for this reason alone, because you take Cortland Sutton away from the receiving core, you have no one that you can truly count on as an alpha. Josh Reynolds, not an alpha. Marvin Mims, not yet an alpha. Tim Patrick, we don't know what he's going to do. Brandon Johnson, little Jordan Humphrey, Jalen Virgil, they're all backup types. You need a wide receiver one. He's coming off a great season. Unless you get an offer that you can't refuse, like the Godfather, like a two or a three, then I'd keep him, Chad, honestly.
Dude, it's funny you bring up Godfather, because I've been binging Godfather lately. I don't, you know, when I do go on a Godfather binge, I usually barely watch Godfather 3 because it's just weird.
Terrible.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been binging that. And then it took me down a Marlon Brando rabbit hole where I was like learning all this stuff about Brando and like, oh yeah, you know, Streetcar Named Desire and a few of the movies that made him a famous actor and stuff. But I love The Godfather, especially Godfather 1. Okay. The Duchess, we love you. We appreciate you. Oh, I almost skipped KB and Naj. Don't worry, guys. You're next. The Duchess jumping in. If nobody picks up Justin Simmons, is there a chance of him coming back at a discounted rate? Thank you, Michaela. It's so good to see a Mount Rushmore member in our community, near and dear to our hearts. Look forward to talking to you. Is it Monday? It's Monday, right? It's going to be dope. Superstar segment. Zach, I wrote about this today, kind of trying to understand why the market for Justin Simmons is cold, right? He's been a free agent now for, let's just say, a month, basically. And a guy coming literally off a Pro Bowl and then 1 year removed from being the co-leader of interceptions in the NFL can't get a job. Why is that? There are multiple reasons that I get into in the article, Zach. But then I even say, look, Adam Schefter's talking about him probably having to take a one-year deal to have a job in 2024. And so if you're the Broncos and you know the market softened for him big time, why wouldn't you try and kick those tires? I mean, I would, but if I'm Justin Simmons, there might be too much water under that bridge for me to countenance that when I could probably get a one-year deal with almost anybody, you know, like as long as I'm not asking for too much. And I think by this point, Zach, he's probably come around to the reality that he's not going to find 14, 15 million out there. Because the safety market overall has been devalued over the last couple of years by the league.
Absolutely. And I feel like if there was a chance of Simmons coming back at a reduced contract, he would have just been restructured and they would have kept him. They've released him in a cost-cutting move. And I don't know that if it's just the money, maybe Simmons is asking for too much or he overvalued his market value. But he is a 31-year-old safety. And
entering his age 31 season, to quote you.
There you go. And I wouldn't categorize him. He's not an Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu. If he was, he would have gotten an offer by now. I mean, he's a pretty good, you know, at sometimes great, sometimes above average safety. And it, like Chad said, tough market out there, but I don't see him coming back to Denver. And it's not just the money either. Why would you want to come back, even if the money was comparable, to go through another rebuild? This guy hasn't sniffed a winning season, let alone a playoff game. Let the man join a contender and play out the back nine of his career on a winning team.
I honestly think that's part of why his value is not what he thought it was, is that NFL teams have never seen him a part of something great. You know, you've seen some great individual performances from Justin Simmons. I mean, he's a four-time All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler with 8 years in the league. You've seen him do some amazing things. And one of them is the least heralded in terms of accolades, because it didn't come with an accolade. And that was in 2018, Vance Joseph's final season, literally starting at every position in the secondary before Vic Fangio showed up. But he just never got to be a part of any team success. That's not his fault. That was more of organizational incompetence. But still, that's part of whatever the shine is on you, whatever the book is on and perception of you as a player is tied to what people in the league have seen you accomplish with your team. So I wish him the best. I hope he finds a contract, Zach, worth $20 million a year. Like, yeah, that's the caliber of cat he is, and he's just such a good dude as well. But I don't see him coming back to Denver, unfortunately, Michaela. But that's honestly something I hope I'm wrong on. Naj, brother, we love you. We appreciate you taking the leaderboard tonight on individual super chat. Thank you, buddy. Mythical Naj Altaf in the house. And by the way, Naj, we got to get you on for one of the, get you scheduled for a superstar segment, dude. We got the Duchess scheduled on the 8th. I'm making sure I'm not like speaking out my rear end on that. Yeah, it's the 8th. So next Monday, let's get you on soon, bro. He says, hey, brothers, hope all is well. Personally, I'm hoping we see Penix under center come the meet and greet. Yes, Naj has been to every single meet and greet. And let me tell you something. When we talk about hashtag state of being members of our community, my dog comes from literally the opposite side of the continent to be there for these meet and greets. And he's ride or die. Love you, big dog. Can't wait to see you. But Zach, he's thinking, I hope we see some Penix in the orange and blue come the fall.
I can get on board with it, even though it's not my first choice. As long as it's not Jarrett Stidham under center or Ryan Tannehill under center or whoever, some, you know, no upside, low value retread, as long as it's not them come to meet and greet, I'll be fine.
All right. Let's grab KB. Thank you, bro, for being patient. Jumping in with a super, a MHH, longtime Super Chat superstar, spent whatever it was, year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, as a staff writer before his career kind of carried him off and he had to focus on that. Love having you every single night, dude. You're the man, KB. Says, question from last night. Would you trade the Bills pick 12 for a boatload of picks, including 28? You still might get Knicks. Zach, what do you got?
No, I mean, that's dropping down too far. If KB, if I knew the Broncos would get Knicks, I'd probably make that trade because I want to stockpile capital, but we don't know. And I'm not going to take the chance of losing out on a quarterback. And it's not just the Raiders behind you. Another team could come up in the 20s and get Bo Nix before you're up at 28. If you want to drop down a few spots and pick up a second or pick up a third, fine, and still get a quarterback. But dropping down
28.
What would that be? 16? I can't map 16 spots with, and then with the possibility of losing Knicks and maybe even Bo Penix. No picks are worth chancing a quarterback because no other position you can get with those picks is as valuable as landing your franchise quarterback. That's my opinion.
If you were to do that, you'd better get real comfortable with the prospect of either Jarrett Stidham as your QB one for real, or like Michael Pratt, you know, what's the kid, Rattler? You know, that would be my first post round one option would be Rattler, but I still am all about not just holding the fort and staying put at 12. I'm trying to move up. I'm trying to get one of the dudes in this class. Like, I'm not taking no for an answer on that. I'm finding a way. I'm making a way. You're dead in the water till you get a franchise quarterback. That's the bottom line. Now you could you could do this, KB. Stockpile, load up, miss on the top Qs in the class, and go, you know what? We're going to go all in on a Q next year, and we're going to use this draft to basically start restocking the roster so that when we get that cue, he hits the ground running. But there's no guarantee that, you know, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, let alone that you're going to have a job and all that next year if you're Sean Payton. I think he's aware of that. RD, probably our last super of tonight, jumping in up in Canada, north of the 49th parallel. So good to see you, big dog. I feel like we did a great job on O-line depth, but didn't give enough love to the D-line. After getting a quarterback, I think there is a D-line, D-linemen worth trading up for. Zach, I don't know how versed you are in the 2024 defensive line class, but I want to start with this. The Broncos did make one move in the free agent realm. Malcolm Roach, bringing him in as a defensive lineman, kind of a D-tackle, but not a name that you're really writing home about. It still seems and feels very thin. And when you factor that, Zach, in with the reality that their pass rush is not good and they were one of the worst run-stopping defenses in the NFL last year with the collection they had last year, it's a little bit alarming.
Remember when I said earlier that I could see if the Broncos stay at 12 to trade up into the second round because there's so much talent? This is why I said that. If you go Q in the first, I think defensive line, the front seven has to be your second biggest priority. There's two players I like in the second round who are, you know, considered second round prospects. Darius Robinson being one. I would love for the Broncos to, if they have to, move up and acquire him. The other one they probably definitely would have to move up for would be Tavondre Sweat. You put Tavondre Sweat in the middle of the defense next to Zach Allen, that's how you start to create interior pressure. That makes everyone else's jobs in the front seven easier, and also even in the secondary because they don't have to cover for so long. Big fan of Sweat. I don't know if the Broncos would trade up, but that's my defensive lineman that I would get if I would be trading up.
All right, we've got KB jumping in again to say none of these guys are franchise quarterbacks. That's a waste of a premium pick. If they stay at 12, it should be an edge or a defensive tackle. Look, if you're sold – if you're Sean Payton and you don't believe there's a franchise quarterback, let alone multiple potential franchise quarterbacks in the class that could be worth a trade up or even staying put at 12, if you really believe that, then yeah, you try and trade back. I would disagree with you on that none of these guys are franchise quarterbacks, but you know, it's still legal to disagree on things and be friends. You know, we're going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's the great thing about this country is everyone's entitled to their own opinion, KB. So if you think the Broncos should bypass quarterback and take an edge, it's your opinion. And we'll just have to see what happens on the 25th.
So my question for you then, KB, is as many as six quarterbacks are projected as going in the first round. Is if that's not a reflection of the caliber of the players in question or the class, what is it reflecting? Just simply the need and the demand? Food for thought. Curious about your take there. Thank you, buddy. Sam Bam jumping in with a third super chat tonight to say, nope, this is the last super of the night. Go Broncos. And Zach, I wanted to end it with aplomb there and let him get the satisfaction, but Tom spoiled it. Sam, you know what? We're still going to read your super chat last before we dip out. So we're going to give you that. Tom jumping in. Thank you, brother. Says, I would have given up anything to get our guy. Our O-line is the best part of our team. We got decent receivers, deep at running back, and cap space next year on all defense, I think is what he's saying. Great show. Thanks, bro. Yeah, the O-line doesn't get enough credit. I don't know that I would maybe say it's the best part of our team, but it's definitely the most underrated unit on the Broncos.
Yeah, I said the other night that, you know, arguably four out of five positions are pretty solid heading into the season. And when's the last time we could say that? It's been one or two at most. They'll replace Cushenberry with somebody, and I think that McGlinchey should settle down in a year or two, and it could become a quick strength for a while for the Broncos.
Tom, love you, big dog. And for the satisfaction again, Sam, this is the last super chat of the night. Go Broncos. And with that, we got a few messages for you guys, and then we got to dip.
Be sure. I don't know where the banner is. I guess it changed, but be sure to follow the pod on Twitter at the MHH pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle. There we go. At the MHH Pod. Be sure you're following if you haven't already. Follow Chad on Twitter at Chad N. Jensen. Myself at Kelberman NFL. Don't forget about Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every podcast, check out MHHmerch.com. Get you some. Also, drop us a like at Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. You can find us on Instagram at @mile_high_huddle. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you, baby.
That's right. A mile high salute to our great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight. David, the Papa Bear, McElrath, Sam Bam, Jesse, Troy, Lawrence. We got Ronald. We got Dave from Georgia. Mike. We got the, did I already say KB? No, we got KB, of course. Lando, Phil McLaughlin. We got George Fox. We got BLD2342. We got the Duchess, of course, RD. We've got Naj. We've got, Tom. And then an 11th hour. Look at this, an 11th hour super from the Lady D jumping in. Thank you, Deanna. Seriously, we love you. Appreciate you so much. A nice little cherry on top, Zach, of what's been a great, great conversation tonight. She says, we need a quarterback. We also need some O-line depth. Center, definitely MHH for life. Well, you know, they did sign one today to kind of be a little bit of a veteran stopgap in case you missed that, Deanna. And they are hedging on. Hey, they've invested a couple of draft picks in back-to-back years in centers. We're going to give one of them a whirl, see what's what in 2024, Zach.
You know, quietly, the Broncos have added 3 offensive linemen on the open market. We talked about Mustafer, the center, today. They signed Matt Pert or Peart, whatever his name is, offensive tackle. And they also signed last week Calvin Throckmorton, former Saints guard. So they've addressed all levels of the offensive line. And it just makes it easier, Deanna, to go into the draft of not pigeonholing yourself into a need, not having to take a center, not having to take a tackle. They'll do it when they feel it is necessary.
I would imagine it's Pert, and I only say that because arguably the greatest drummer of all time, Neil Pert.
Rush.
That's how they pronounce it, and it's exactly, and it's spelled the same way. So I'm just going to assume it's Pert. But then again, our friend, he started writing for us on Broncos the last month or so. Jared, if you look at his last name, spelled K-O-C-H, you would think like Koch, like a lot of famous people have had that name, for example, one in particular, New York politician. But no. Cook, that's how his family pronounces their name, K-O-C-H, but pronounced Cook. So maybe it is Peart, Zach. You never know. But I'm still rolling. I think we're pretty safe to err on the side of Pert.
We love pronunciations on this podcast, but we know how to pronounce Deanna Hendry's name. Thank you so, so much, Deanna. I think it's going to wrap it up for tonight, unless, Sam, you object.
No, but we got to give him a satisfaction. Nope, this is the last super of the night. Go Broncos. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday. Take care. And as always, go Broncos. You object.
No, but we got to give him a satisfaction. This is the last super of the night. Go Broncos. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.